We want to thank Mr. David Malik for sponsoring this morning's shir in memory of his beloved parents. Neshama should have an aliyah, b'schus lima Torah d'Rabbim. So this morning's topic is very significant, and I mean it even more seriously than I ever meant it, and I'll tell you why. Because this past Shabbos, yesterday, I was looking through a book that we had in our house. It was not a Hebrew book, it was an English book, written by a person who had the name Rabbi in front of his name, on Yom Kippur. And in this book, it was not a halacha sefer, but it was a book of a popular rabbi whose name I will not mention, and I might very much write him a letter. Maybe I should lift up the phone and call him, or maybe even go and visit him because of the severity of what he wrote. He wrote in this very popular author's writing that in one small part where he talks about the idea of fasting, inui, he says that it is scripturally prohibited to fast. I don't remember exactly how he was talking about people who are sick or elderly. Fasting, it says, is scripturally prohibited to eat more than an ounce of liquid and a koseves, like the Mishnah says, of food. And that would be scripturally violating the scripture of the halachas of Yom Kippur. Now that is an absolute... It's asur d'oraisa to have this tiniest bit of water. The tiniest bit of water, the smallest half a sesame seed, is an issur d'oraisa. This is something that the Rov Am does not know. This is something that many, many Orthodox doctors do not know. I've had conversations with Orthodox doctors, and in the context of conversation, they're like, yeah, I told the person to have a chatzishir. They know chatzishir, everyone knows chatzishir, and you measure it with a shot glass and with whatever, and everything's okay. The person's really, you know, really old anyway. And this attitude of, you know, once you have less than a shot glass or less than a kosos every 9 minutes, everything's good. It's an itzer d'oraisa, as I'll show you immediately right this second. The book that I read yesterday was being mafshul the rabbim in a terrible way. Let's look inside. I'll learn with you some Shulchan Aruch. We're not going to talk about Chol HaShiyesh B'Sakana. If it's a Chol HaShiyesh B'Sakana, you could drive to the hospital on Shabbos, you could eat whatever you want, but we'll see the parameters now. We're going to work out the parameters right now. Yes, we have these shilas at this table right now. Yes. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Ha'ochel B'Yom HaKippurim, K'Koseves HaGasa, right? Not like the shear of Kezias, which you have by all other Yisuri Achila, where there's a din of Achila, lo socha, the word Achila means the Kezias. Here, the Pasuk says, lo sa'anes v'inisan sa'ashot sechem, which is inui, as we'll see in a moment in the Mishnah Brura, is a different shear, koseves hagasa, chayev, yechayev, kares.
What is a koseves? It's
a date.
A date.
Question is, do you include the pit, do you not include the pit?
Right.
That's a different question. V'hu pachas mi kebetza ma'ad, which is a little less than a kebetza, it's larger than a kezias, but it's less than a kebetza. This quantity for foodstuffs, for solid foodstuffs, is objective regardless of bein le nanas, whether he's a midget, good word to know, nanas is a midget, bein le og melech habashar. Koseves hagasa is an objective shear, as opposed to the liquid shear, which is going to be melo lugmav, that is subject to the individual, which is why for those situations where even among, you know, shilas that came up with people at this shul, at this shir this morning, there was a time when I mentioned to somebody about it eating melo lugmav. So the way that we measure melo lugmav, I'm not going to show you inside, but the halacha is, it's one cheekful, but look at my face. It's one cheekful, it's that cheekful plus the middle of your mouth. Meaning, it's the cheekful, the protrusion, plus the middle. So what the poskim say, I think the Mishnah Berurah says this, is that you drink, a person tests Erev for Yom Kippur, they do a test run. They suck in as much liquid as they could take so that their cheeks are both puffed out, protruding on both sides. Then they spit it into a cup. They take half of that, and that's considered melo lugmav. Okay? So if a person would have 4 ounces that they could fit in their double cheeks, so melo lugmav for that person would be 2 ounces. Mm-hmm. If they don't do this test, they're going to have to be more machmir. Because they might find that, because some people only could get 2 ounces in their cheekfuls, and therefore melo lugmav would be 1 ounce. So therefore, a person should do that. If a person is in a situation where, for medical purposes, they are in need of having that Molo Lokmav, then they should test it before Shabbat, before Yom Kippur, because they'll probably do better. They'll probably be able to have a larger shear, which would be equally mutter. Like, once it's mutter to have Molo Lokmav for that person, so it's better for them to have, you know, if their Molo Lokmav is 2 ounces, why should they only be having 1 ounce? If they could have 2 ounces for the same halacha, that's something to keep in mind. Now, says the Mishnah Brura, Afa gavde b'chol yisuri ha-Torah, Misharim b'kezayis, that's only kol zehechi d'chsev achila. Mashein can be Yom Kippur, lo k'sev achila, ella, rather the Torah's prohibition of eating on Yom Kippur, mana ha-kosev, the Torah prevented us, says achila b'loshen inui, k'dechsev ha-shnefesh ha-shelo se'une. I don't know why he's quoting that pasuk. Yeah, oh, because it says kareis by that pasuk. There are two pasukim of inui. The part one pasuk gives v'inisim es-nafsha seichem. And then there's a different part that says hanavsha shalosuuna, that you don't fast, that doesn't fast, will get kares. Okay, and where do we get this funny shear of kosevas hagasa? Since the lashon of the Torah is that you should afflict yourselves, we see kibbulhu lechachamim the pachos mi kosevas lo miyasva daite klal. Less than a kosevas does not satisfy. You are still wanting. You are still afflicted if you haven't yet eaten a kosevas. Once you eat a kosevas, you're somewhat relaxed, your belly is somewhat relaxed. Now, skip to Sif Hei. In the Shulchan Aruch, I bring Sif Hei. The Sif Aleph only mentioned the idea of a koseves. Zot Sif Hei, had to be in shir hainu lichayev chatos o kares. Kares o chatos. Aval Yisur Iko, says the Shulchan Aruch, b'kolshu. And very importantly, says the Mishabru, according to Magen Avram, Aval Yisur Iko min ha-Torah. One drop of water. You have to tell this to everybody you know, because there are so many Orthodox Jews who have been fasting their whole lives and don't realize that it's also d'oraisa. The only time you're allowed to have a drip of water on Shabbos is if you are sick enough that you would drive to the hospital on Shabbos. Nothing less. Is that clear? The only time you're allowed to have a drip of water on Shabbos if you're sick enough
on Yom Kippur
is if a person is sick enough that they are mechalel Shabbos avuro. There's a pikuach nefesh. Here. As the Prima Gadol explains, why is it Asim in HaTorah, as you mentioned, because we pass like Krib Yochanan in Yuma, the Chatz Yishim in HaTorah is Asir.
What about taking medicine without water?
So let's leave that till afterwards. We'll get that. So taking a pill is not considered Achila, as long as it's an unflavored pill. And therefore, Advil, generic Advil, has a sucrose coating on it. Sucrose coating on it. Correct. But since there's a coating on it that gives it flavor to make it go down a little bit sweeter, that's called achshavei. That means the fact that we flavor stuff, that means we're making it into a food. Naturally, medicine is not a food. It's a medicine. But once you put sucrose on the outside to make it sweet, that's achshavei that makes it chashav, that's achshavei it into a food, and therefore you cannot swallow Advil. Generic Advil, if anybody here has a bottle of generic Advil, like the Kirkland, the Costco brand, which I think we have, I should bring some to shul for Yom Kippur, that is not achshavei. It doesn't have the sucrose coating on it, the generic brands, and therefore it's not a food, and you are permitted to swallow it, certainly without water. If a person needs water to take a liquid, under any conditions, if they have a headache that they're allowed to take medicine on Shabbos, they're allowed to take medicine on Yom Kippur.
Let's say you have a headache.
A headache that's bad enough that you'd want to lie down, that normally you'd lie down with, you could take on Yom Kippur. Yes, that's not called breaking your fast.
If you get a headache, you want to prevent the headache, because you don't get it every year.
That is correct. If you get a headache that you know will be a headache that will make you have to lie down, then also you could prophylactically take that medicine, yes.
Take Tom Ridley's before
Inui does not mean you should suffer. Inui, the Gemara goes through proofs. Inui doesn't mean you have to give yourself malchus on Yom Kippur. So what you're asking would be the equivalent. No, prophylactically separately. Inui did Chazal say just means fasting and the Chamish Inuyim, which some might be Daraisa, some might be Darbana, but that Chazal determined what's Inui. Causing yourself to be in pain and not take medicines when you could take medicines, that's not in the together. Prophylactically is a din in Hilchas Shabbos. That's not called Refuah B'Shabbos if it's prophylactic. If it's before the pain has started, right? Again, the case that we spoke about in Pes Shurim is that if you want to drink on Simchas Torah, and you know that you get a headache after you drink, so can you take the Advil before you drink so that you won't get the headache later? So if right now you're totally fine, you don't have a headache right now, so you're allowed to take the Advil now while you feel perfectly fine, because there's no gzeira shem yishchok samanim, you're not going to lose yourself. Oh, I might not have enough, I have to grind the medicines, because you feel fine now. You're not going to lose yourself, you're not anxious about anything, you're totally, you feel great. You just want to go drink. Okay, so let's leave that aside. There's an important Maimer Mordechai who I have to be Melamed Zechus on so many people, including the front people, including doctors, who have been telling their patients for decades that, you know, in certain circumstances they could eat if they have less than a shear. Where does this come from? So I want to be Melamed Zechus on Klai. It says it comes from a misunderstanding of a Rambam. So all those doctors who gave that false information, right, false fake news, they made their mistake because they learned of a Rambam with a misconception. Let's look at the Maimer Mordechai in the Shulchan Aruch, who says, who quotes this Rambam, and then you realize what mistake they made. Maimer Mordechai quotes the halacha that we just said, that it's also to araisa, even to have a pachas mikashir, because we paskin that pachas shir osim na Torah. Because of Harambam zel, demakanos o makas mardus. Oh, that's the mistake. What is that a code word? When you see the words that you get makas mardus, that sounds like it's only the Rabbanon. So the Rambam says, if you eat a shir, then you get kareis. If you eat less than a shir, then you get makas mardus. So people read that and assumed, oh, so it must be only osir midi Rabbanon. But that's the mistake. Says the Maimer Mordechai, he doesn't mean that it's asa d'rabbanan. Ubir hamagid mishnah, haraf hamagid zal. That, why do you get malchus d'rabbanan? Why do you get malchus d'rabbanan? Not because it's an isa d'rabbanan, but it's a da'asya bekal v'chomer mimisha achal isurim d'rabbanan. Meaning, if for an isa d'rabbanan in kol hatorakul you get malchus d'rabbanan, you get malchus mardus, then kal v'chomer, when you do an Issa d'oraisa, Pachos Mikashir, certainly you should get Makas d'Rabbanan.
You know what you're going to have
by d'oraisas. I don't know if that's true by Makas Mardus. I hear what you're, that's a good
hope. How many is Makas Mardus?
How many is Makas Mardus? I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know if it's that Kei d'oraisa Tikkun of 39, or the rabbis make up whatever number they want. I don't know the answer. It's a good question. I don't know if Makas Mardus has all the parameters of Makas Mardus. I don't know the sugya of Makas Mardus. Okay. So that's, I think, where the mistake might have come from, that people thought, oh, it's only the Rabbanan, but we see the Magen Mishnah says, no, it's also Doraisa, just, it's a Kava Chomer from Nisa Rabbanan that you should also get
Makas.
What?
Makas Mardus is Rabbanan.
That's correct. It's going to be Makas Rabbanan. The Isser that you violate is Nisa Doraisa, but it's not an Isser that carries with it Malkos, nor kareis, because it's chatzishir. But therefore, the rabbis will give you makas d'rabbanan for violating the isra of chatzishir midaraisa. Good. Now, let's jump to pregnant women. Pregnant women, says the Shulchan Aruch, it's not a Shulchan Aruch, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, ubros, by the star, ubros, menikos, pregnant women and nursing women, misanos, they fast, umashlimos, and they finish the day fasting, v'yom ha'kipurim. Zok the Beir Halacha, you'll have your rabbis hear all kinds of stories, but you don't understand, and what's going to happen if she doesn't? And we talk to lactation experts. Oh my gosh, lactation experts who are, you know, often when a woman gives birth and she has trouble nursing, so you send her to a lactation expert. They're eish lahava about how important it is to nurse naturally, not to chas v'shalom ever give formula to a baby. So they're the strongest proponents of the inyan of the following Beir Halacha. But you'll see what the Beir Halacha really says. Ubras menikos misanos hashlimos. Vim yesh la menika. If a nursing woman has a yelad chola, you see the parameters? A yelad who's chola. And who's misug. Now remember, if a woman doesn't nurse, it is possible if she doesn't nurse for an extended period of time, it could be even for a day or two, she might lose her ability to nurse. She might lose her milk. For good. Forever. And there's certain advantages to woman's milk. There's certain immunities that are offered by mother's milk that is not provided by the formula, even with all the nutrients that they inject into the formulas. There's certain immunities to diseases that a child could develop later in life that you only have in a mother's milk. And it is very good to have mother's milk. However, the Beir Halacha clarifies, only if the nursing mother has a yeld who's a chola, umesukan, A. B. Ve'ena rota linek ki imimena, and he's only going to take milk from his mother, meaning there's no formula. Vim tis'ana, and if she will fast, sakana hu la yeled, it's a sakana that the child won't get the milk that he only gets from his mother, and therefore the kid is already sick, might chas shalom be in danger. Then, ena mis'ana fil b'yom ha-kippurim. Let me explain to you the chiddush of the Be'er Halacha. The woman is totally fine. She is in a tip-top, perfect form of health. It's her son, her baby, who's sick. And we let her break her fast to help her baby who's sick. That's a chiddush in Lovdus. Yeah, no, she can nurse. The problem is sometimes a woman who doesn't have... when a woman is nursing, the first liquids that come into her go to her nursing. And she gets second. I don't know if that's true. I'm not sure. So either way, if a woman doesn't drink, she'll have less milk or no milk to give her baby. So that's the question.
In order to nurse, she needs...
What?
Is it a regular day for her, or is she limited to what she can eat?
If the baby's a masukah, so she would not eat drink. She'd drink. It's only a question of liquids. She would not allow her to eat. So it depends what the needs would be. You'd have to ask an expert. You'd go to I would not say a lactation consultant. I would say a doc. A doctor who, or a lactation consultant who understands the halachas properly.
She would still be limited to what she could drink.
It depends on the situation. Again. Many nursing women, again, this is only for a yelid who's mesukin. For a dangerously ill child who doesn't take formula. Again, if you're talking about a child who's eating other foods, it's a very limited window. Once a baby is already 8 months old, 9 months old, they're eating plenty of foods. They're drinking, you probably could put a cup in their mouth. Even if they take bottles, they take all kinds of things. But we're talking about a baby who's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months old. Who doesn't take formula? That means his mother didn't go to work yet. Who doesn't take a bottle? So his mother is still home and hasn't gone back to work. With nowadays, in the olden days, I'm sure when your wives gave birth, chances are they were home for
years.
Okay, I have a feeling that many of your wives, when they gave birth, did not go back to work as quickly as the women nowadays. Nowadays, women give birth, they go back to work 3 weeks later, they're back at work. 3 weeks later. That's how it is, and that's the that's because that's what the insurance policies, that's what the leave policy of the in terms of pay rate. If you could afford it, so your wife will stay home longer, but that's what happens nowadays, 3 weeks. Okay. Which is not a big chiddush? Which way? Correct. Correct. I'm allowed to be Mechal HaShabbos for somebody else. Right. If somebody else is having a heart attack, I don't have to tell him to call Hatzalah. I could call Hatzalah. Correct. It's regular for Pikuach Nefesh. This is not a Chiddush in Yom HaKippurim. Correct. Now, there was a very beloved posek in Yerushalayim, Dayan Fisher. Dayan Fisher was the, no slouch, Dayan Fisher was the Gaivit of the Badats. Ein Lecha Gadol Miha Gon Rav Yaakov Yisrael Fisher. And he was a posek atzam of the first caliber. And he was very beloved in Yerushalayim. Specifically, he was beloved, you know when? Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur, the week before the Yom Kippur, there was a line, I'm told, around the block, outside the Badatz Beis Hora, of all the women in Yerushalayim, lining up in front of him to get a heter. Why? I will tell you. Because Rav Dayan Fisher had a very unique shita about fasting on Yom Kippur for pregnant women, and his shita is written, I believe, in his haskama. It wasn't written in a sefer of halacha sefer, but it's written in a haskama. I think to Pnei Menachem. What's that sefer? Kolbal Avelus. The English art scroll Avelus translated the Pnei Baruch. I think in his haskama Pnei Baruch. I think it might be there. I think in there he has the following. Look, it's quoted in the Tzitz Eliezer on the bottom of the page. In Tzitz Eliezer, Chelik Yitzayin, Simon Chaf, quotes Dayan Fisher. Kosev al zehagon Reb Yaakov Yisrael Fisher. Baskamas Sefer, in his Kaskama, he wrote the following. This is what Dayan Fisher wrote, and we're going to analyze this kula of Dayan Fisher. Kayom hazeh, nowadays, shenech l'shu hadoros. Our women are weaker. Look at his words. Now remember, he had an incredible amount of experience. He was the Gaivit of Yerushalayim for decades, I assume. I don't know exactly how long, but he was a posek atzam for decades. So he had a lot of communal experience. And therefore, based on his experience, he writes the following. V'asros rabos, many tens, let's call it in English dozens, dozens of women, mapilos, had miscarriages, ayadeh hatinus, Therefore, again, two things. A, nowadays we're weaker than in the olden days. B, since, I assume in my experience, I've seen dozens of miscarriages, therefore, tzrichen kol hanashim hamubaros, all pregnant women, ad hachodesh atshi, until the ninth month, because if it's the ninth month, just go ahead and have a baby. You're worried that you're going to be dehydrated, and therefore the baby, that's the concern. The concern is that if a woman is dehydrated, that it's going to increase the delivery rate, because there's less liquid, so Hashem built a woman, an incredible chachma, that there's no water inside, then go outside, you'll get water. So that it could generate labor. Contractions, and therefore he said, "Srichen kol anashim mubaros ad the chodesh ad shiyah until the ninth month, meaning 1 through 8. If a woman's pregnant, month 1 through 8, all pregnant women should eat lechol b'yom kippur and pachos mikashir. They should have pachos mikashir. That was who should have this kula? Every pregnant woman. So now you understand.
We're talking
only about pregnancy, right? Right now, this is where that fish is on the table.
If
she's
pregnant 8 months, don't halacha.
So this is the halacha that Dayan Fisher paskin. Keep in mind, it's against a...
Why do you have to line up? Everybody needs to get
all
the not all women that read the haskam of the Pnei Barach, I guess. I don't know when he wrote the haskam of the Pnei Barach, and when it was, I don't know the exact timeline. So this is the kula of Dayan Fisher. And keep in mind, it's against a line in Shulchan Aruch. Keep in mind, it's against a Mishnah in Talmud, in Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, right? But if he's saying that Nechlesh Adoros.
When did he live?
Dayan Fisher. He probably died, what, 10, 15 years ago? He's a Heintiger. Yeah, he died 10, 15 years ago. Older brother, yeah. Older Shlomo Fisher is still, yeah. Rosh Lama Fisher's older brother, correct. So, he was a big Meiklan Hilchas Nida also, I think. Okay. So, he makes two important... If he's saying Nechleshu Hadoros, is that a code word? What do you think he's saying when he's saying Nechleshu Hadoros?
The nature changed.
Ah, Nishtanu HaTvam. That's what he's saying. He's saying Nishtanu HaTvam. And therefore, don't bother me with the Mishnah and the Shulchan Aruch. I'm saying Nishtanu HaTvam. Now, Rabosai, can I ask you a question? I agree that we're weaker than we used to be.
It's a slippery slope.
But do you think that pregnant women now are less nourished than pregnant women 500 years ago?
Probably better nourished.
I have a feeling that with the prenatal vitamins, you don't know how many times I've gotten shilas about a pregnant woman, usually the first child, on Yom Kippur, asking if she could take her prenatal vitamins. Okay? In Washington Heights, right? Even when a different the age configuration was a different,
They're older than us, right?
They're a little older than us, right? They're a little more mature. So there were a lot of pregnant ladies in the shul, and actually, it's also Shabbos. They want to know prenatals on Shabbos. I'm like, I think you could skip a day of prenatals. Chas v'shalom, just skip a day of prenatals. You know, take two prenatals before, two prenatals after. You'll be totally fine. They take prenatals now, which has all the 100% USRDA of 30 different, you know, we have folic acid, we have all kinds of things that women take when they're pregnant. I have a feeling, and we also have much more, you know, we have much more meat and chicken and salmon, and we have much more.
Where did you get this from?
Okay, we're weaker. I agree we're weaker. Okay, that's A. B. B. Let's look at the tzitz el. Now, this Dayan Fisher's position was rejected by just about all the poskim. But let's look at how the Tzitz Eliezer, Dayan Waldenberg, critiques relatively gently. I think Rav Avadya Yosef is not as gentle. But let's see how the Tzitz Eliezer critiques Dayan Fisher's psak. Hinei l'dayti, zui kula gedola ad ma'od. You see where he's going. Not only is it a kula gedola, it's a kula gedola ad ma'od. Lov l'hatir beheter klalia, a blanket heter lechol b'yom kiprul anashim u'baros. Because of his claim, Nechlishu Hadoros. And not only that, not only does he permit them to eat, he says they must eat. He says, Tzrichen. And what about his, Dayan Fisher says, I've seen dozens of women who are Mapilas. Mapilas means that, God forbid, miscarriage, will be Mechalel Shabbos, will be for an Uber. we will break Yom Kippur, not just save the mother, but to save the unborn fetus as well, to the question among the Rishonim, but we paskin, that you do violate Shabbos, you do violate Yom Kippur to save the yet unborn fetus. We do. Oh, but so what about his claim that there were dozens of mapilos that he knows about? Hine yodim anu, the end of the second paragraph. Hine yodim anu l'masa, I know, as opposed to that, mikol asar va'asar, from all over the world, al meos, you're telling me about dozens of people who had miscarriages? I don't know about that, but I know of hundreds and thousands of women mu'baros shemisanos b'yom ha'kippur v'lo ma'pilos chas v'shalom. That's a funny argument now. Ve'eich nucha b'glav mikram shal asas nash ma'pilos. How could we say because of dozens of women who miscarried? And keep in mind, it doesn't mean dozens of women in a given year. It means over the 40 years that you've been a posek in Yerushalayim, the 60 years, 50 years, I don't know, that you've been a posek in Yerushalayim, you've seen an accumulation of dozens of all the thousands and thousands and thousands of women just fasting in Yerushalayim over the past 40 years. That is enough of a number to qualify as a suffolk? I won't know. I don't want to say it's not scientific.
It's anecdotal.
I don't want to say it's anecdotal. I want to say that it doesn't cut a threshold that qualifies as a suffolk that's acceptable in halacha. You hear the difference? Anecdotal means it's not empirical. This is empirical, but the empirical conclusion is not enough of a percentage that warrants changing halacha. That's the difference. After the parentheses, shehen mahavos miuta de miuta. That concern that you're raising is a miuta miuta, and for the miuta de miuta, I'm not talking about 7%. Right? When you talk about which vegetables you have to check, which vegetables you don't have to check, romaine lettuce you have to check, cauliflower broccoli you have to check. What about raisins? Do you check your raisins before your wife puts it in the challah for Rosh Hashanah? Well, in Eretz Yisrael, maybe you do have to check raisins for bugs. Here, I don't think you soak them. Here, you don't have to. Why? Because it's a miyuta miyuta. There's not enough of a. It's a, even if there would be one bug every, you know, seven boxes of you know, 70 boxes of sun-made raisins, it's not enough of a percentage that qualifies. That's considered a miut sheino matsui. It's less than a miut sheino matsui. It's a miuta de miuta de miuta that halacha doesn't have to reckon with. Similarly, did you ever hear the famous shaila? It's not a great shaila of the guy, the Arab who wants to be machshel all of Klal Yisrael in eating chametz on Pesach, and this Arab knows that chametz on Pesach hafilu be'elef lo batil, and therefore he takes the big loaf of challah. And he drops it in the Kinneret on Pesach. If you drop it before Pesach, then it'll be there is bittul. But he's a chacham, and therefore he drops it on Pesach when I feel be'elf lo batil. And the Kinneret is the source for the drinking water for all of Klal Yisrael, for all of Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't matter. It's one in when we say I feel be'elf lo batil, that means one in 1,000 won't be batil. But one in, you know, the size of a loaf compared to the volume of the Kinneret is one in
million.
Billions, probably. Billions.
And right? Fish.
So one in billions, right? And the fish also, right? You can't have the fish either, exactly. One in billions. That is not enough of a shear to be reckoned with in halacha at all. And therefore, says the Tzitz Eliezer, it's a muta de muta, and therefore, based on your muta de muta, which halacha might not even recognize at all, and you're going to go not only be concerned with it, but you're going to be oker halacha's gedolos bezeh, and you're going to knock out an explicit line in the Shulchan Aruch with your miuta de miuta that's not even a significant quantity, a significant percentage, and knock out a line in a Mishnah based on that? That's against Shas and the Ram and the Shulchan Aruch with no one who argues on them? And on your own, take, you see how he's saying nicely, but you see how strong these arguments are. V'likvo at the end of the paragraph, Biglal Kain, Midas Atzmeinu, we're going to decide, Benishtanu Hatvayim, all of a sudden, the chain, therefore, concludes it's Eliezer, last paragraph of this top section. The daiti bor ha'davar lefi halacha. You cannot give a heter bof and klali, and certainly you can't tell someone they should eat. Of course, if there's a specific situation, and he has a very good gather. Ela yesh laseis hora lahed, ki b'chom mikra shel cholsha, if there's a specific weakness, ostiya, deviation, meha matzav ha'normali, a deviation from normal pregnant status, then what should they do? If they're totally normal in their pregnancy, they don't even have to ask a shayla. Open up a Shulchan Aruch, open up a Mishnayis, Yuma, and know that they should fast. When there's a deviation or an unusual weakness, then they should ask a shayla. Then Alein Lasos Shelas Chacham, and he will tell them what to do based on the specific situation of their unique pregnancy situation. That's the Tzitz Eliezer, and this indeed is the accepted psak of Rove Poskim, certainly that I'm aware of. Says Moshe Sternbach, he reiterates a similar situation. He was asked the shayla of a woman who just landed from Europe right before Rosh Hashanah. Isha Mubarak, she yigia achsha me Europa. And she asked the doctor, and the doctor said, look, you just landed from Europe, you're very weak, you probably shouldn't fast. Or at least just do shiurim, right? That's what the doctor said. Yeah, you're tired, you're exhausted, you're weak, you should do shiurim. And therefore, based on that, it was a long trip. And therefore, Rav, based on the doctor's suggestion, there was a rabbi who gave her a heter. That was what came to Moshe Sternbach's table. Well, the Daiti concludes Moshe Sternbach at the end of the first paragraph. This is not cause for a pikuach nefesh heter. Shor shadavar, and he says the basis for this. Okay, I'm going to skip the next paragraph. Basically, he says that unless there's a specific situation that is defined by the medical community as a genuine risk to life, then you do not break your fast on Yom Kippur, even for Pachas Mikashir. If, of course, there's a medical situation, and every Yom Kippur, since I've been here, I've spoken to doctors about specific situations. People call it a specific situation, medical shalom for their family, and I'll talk to their doctors if I can, ideally. If not, then another doctor who is sensitive to what Yom Kippur means, who's a little bit more familiar with the halacha, and who is a responsible medical professional. And then we'll arrive at some, conclusion based on the medical. Of course, we have to err on the side of caution, obviously. I'm not going to err on the side of, I'm not going to be cavalier in terms of this kind of sap, but it has to be responsible with halacha as well. This brings us to a very important point, that historical event that is famous.
We saw
a lantern in the cholera epidemic of 1848.
He made Kiddush.
In 1848, I saw one account, listen to this, okay, the way it's told, I don't know exactly how it happened, that he made Kiddush and Shul during the cholera epidemic of 1848.
Chaim also did it in Brisk. He said everybody has to go and eat.
Yeah, I agree. The numbers are off. The historical things that I saw was 1848, Moshe Sternbach writes 1860-ish or so. So his number, I think, might be off, because he's probably just writing from memory. Exactly. But I looked up the historical. That's why I wrote the word 1848. It's not part of the... That's why I put a question mark, because I looked up on... I Googled around for... And some historical... So what happened was, I saw one account. I don't know if it's true, but the Lashon that I saw quoted from what Rav Yisrael Salanter said from the Bima in 1848 during the cholera epidemic, he said, listen to these words. Birshus HaMakom, listen, Rabbi Yisrael, it's going to make you shudder. Birshus HaMakom uVirshus HaKahal Anu Matirim Le'echol B'Yom HaKippurim. You hear that, Rabbi Yisrael? When I saw those words, it made my back tingle. Okay, and therefore, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, what was the chiddush of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter? The reason why it was such a big chiddush is because people weren't sick yet. There are people who are not sick. But the doctor said that if you are going to be weak, you are vulnerable to contract the cholera. And that was his chiddush. Now, we know of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter as the Baal Musar. He's the king of Yom Noraim, right? It happens to be he was also among the Poskei Hador. He was also, of course, he was a Gadol B'Torah and Halach. He was a Poskei Hador. I don't know if it's the or a, but certainly one of the Poskei Hador. However, despite that, his psak also was not accepted as mainstream practice in halacha either. Look out, Reb Moshe Sternbach quotes the Reb Tzalel Cohen, who lived a little bit after, or who wrote about this episode a little bit after Rabbi Yisrael Salanter did this. V'nir Shazeu Tam Gaoni Vilna. Baroshis Hagom Rabbi Bitzalel Kohen, I think, Zatzal Shinitz Nagdu. They were against the psak of, they opposed the psak of Hagon Vitzadik Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who was Matil, Chol B'nei Ha'ir, all of the city of Vilna, Lechol, Shem Heim, and Ugar, Rachman, Zamrachol, to prevent them from contracting cholera. V'tanosam Shehetet, Pikuach Nefesh, Umaruvach, right? Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, no, Pikuach Nefesh is whatever you got to do also to prevent. Says Ramosha Sternbach, or says Rabbi Tzal Kohen, you're right. But that's Rak B'tnai, Shehasiba Lefaneinu. There has to be, the reason has to be in front of you. You can't just give a blanket thing that everybody should eat on Yom Kippur because somebody might contract cholera. There has to be a definitive, you know, a very definite siba that we have right now. And therefore they did not accept this psak, this renegade psak of Yisrael Salanter. I'm not mixing heads between the poskim of Vilna. With my lady who just came from Europe on a flight and she's exhausted on Erev Yom Kippur, and the doctors, after all, their mezals will be Yom HaKippurim, they don't really don't know, even if they're from, sometimes they don't know the halachas of Yom Kippur. And I asked Shalti Lerov from Shomrei Torah, I did not permit this woman, if she would feel some terrible feeling and that maybe she'd be at risk of some sort, then I would allow her to eat Paras Mikashir, etc. Now, let's finish up.
Older people.
Okay, so older people, I have to... Older people is a very difficult situation. When I have a shaila with very, very elderly people, I'll always try to speak to the doctor and to see what the situation is. There are two concerns. There's more than two concerns. There are many concerns. One concern is, I remember my grandmother, well, there are a few concerns. First of all, if there's dementia, there is a different, I don't want to get into pratim in a betzibur. Every case is different. There are concerns that if a person does, although these shilohs have to be dealt with individually, I can't talk publicly about, there are health issues, there are patterns, meaning sometimes people who have a hard time eating, if they break a pattern of eating, they might just stop eating at a certain age, a certain point, a certain mental incapacity.
Are they
so, what? So that does, but you're just not allowed to feed them. This is the rice of bimachil tinokos, right? So you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to bimachil a. I don't want to say a katan. Are you allowed to bimachil a shota on Yom Kippur? Are you allowed to be ma'achil shkatzim remasim to a tinuk? Okay, so there's a discussion about that. I don't know if be ma'achil is different. So I don't want to get into it again. These shailas have to be dealt with, but they have to be dealt with privately and responsibly, based on all the factors that are present in that case. I can't talk about it publicly. Now let's finish off with a very important chasam sofer, because I think I mentioned, I don't remember if I mentioned it in a publicly or in a shir, but I mentioned, I once had a shaila of a woman who wanted not to fast. Now, I remember Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger, who gives a shir to the smich students in YU, a lot of some of these marmakos are from what he showed me, he points out an interesting observation. He says that the shailas that I've gotten from the older generation always start with the premise, I can't eat on Yom Kippur. And we always have to convince the older generation, you have to eat, you have to eat, for your health, you have to eat. The shailas that he gets from the younger generation always start from the opposite. I don't want to fast. How can I get out of fasting? How can I get out of fasting? I'm pregnant. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I'm pregnant. A doctor says it's day. I read a study somewhere that if you're pregnant, you shouldn't fast. How can I, Rabbi, what should I do? How can I not fast? By the way, speaking with people, when I speak with certain people who are Kanayin O'Hara in their 80s and their 90s, and they say, what do you mean? I can't eat on Yom Kippur. I can't eat on Yom Kippur. The doctor says you have to, whatever. Can I at least fast till Chatzos maybe? Can I please fast? They want to, they can't imagine eating on Yom Kippur. The younger generation, it's like, I'm talking about from people who you're Torah educated, Beis Yaakov educated. It's a different attitude, a different perspective, what that, you know, the older generation who didn't have a Jewish, the women didn't even have a Torah education at all, and the men who didn't have a Torah education past age 12, can't imagine eating on touching food on Yom Kippur. And the kids with the yeshiva and the Beis Yaakov education until 20, they're looking for the heterim to be able to eat. Okay, so I want to finish with this Chasam Sofer, because this Chasam Sofer is very important. And this Chasam Sofer was also relating to the cholera epidemic, with which we'll finish. And he relates to the following question. The Rofim Mumchem, the expert doctors, say that if you walk out of your house with Aliba Reikana on Yom HaTayim, this is the Chasam Sofer, Chelek Vav, Likutim, Simon Chav Gimel, Dama Barosha, in the Magefas cholera, and therefore, what should we do on the Yom Tzom Rabbah of Yom HaKippur? The doctors say, if you go outside on an empty stomach, you're in danger of contracting cholera. Okay, that's exactly the point. Says the Chasam Sofer, okay, so don't go outside.
Wait.
Don't go outside. Stay home. If the, a pregnant woman is worried that she's not going to be able to fast because she has to take care of her baby, her other kids, what do we tell her? Call your husband in. Let him talk to me. And you sit, the rabbi has to sit the wife and the husband down and say, Mr. Husband, guess where you're spending this Yom Kippur? You're babysitting. And guess where your wife is spending this Yom Kippur? She's lying in bed in the air conditioning for 25 hours straight. Not fast, not breaking her fast. And you are going to miss Kol Nidre, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilah. And you are going to miss Kriyas HaTorah. And you are going to miss Birchas Kodim. You're going to miss everything. So that your wife, who has three little kids running around, doesn't have to get out of her bed if she's pregnant or no, whatever else. So, I had a story that a young woman who needed to fast, but didn't think she needed to fast. And I said at some point in the context of the conversation is, well, if you're going to be so weak, just stay in bed for all of Yom Kippur and don't go to shul. And she said, Rabbi Orlian, what you are saying goes against everything I ever learned in my entire day school experience.
Tell her to go back to school.
Is that incredible? Meaning she's saying, Yom Kippur is about Vida, Yom Kippur is about Tshuva, Yom Kippur is going to shul, Yom Kippur is about the doing Tshuva, which is beautiful, which is so beautiful.
Do Tshuva at home.
But it's wrong. It's wrong. The halacha is, as the look at the bottom paragraph of the of the Chasam Sofer, Amar lefi lashon ha-she'ela, the way the doctors presented it, that the doctor said, if you go out of your house, mashma that if you're stuck in your house, then the danger of the cholera epidemic will not affect you that day. Again, we have different ideas of how medicine and how epidemics work. I will add one halacha of Reb Shlomo Zalman. I didn't see it inside, but I heard from a Neuberger, a very important psak. Let's say somebody is going to eat shiurim. Health situations require that they will eat shiurim, but how many? Let's say if they stay home and stay in bed for 25 hours, they will only have to have four or five shiurim. But if they exert the energy to go to shul for part of the day, they'll have to have another one shot glass of liquid. They are not allowed to go to shul. And this is a very difficult thing to tell people who for 60, 70, 80 years have been going to shul, have been moser nefesh to go to shul and want to fast, and okay, for whatever reason, health reason, or they can't, that is the halacha. We're dealing with an issur kares.
But it's not an exact science. You can't really figure
out one rule. You're right. So that's what you have to figure out. If that's, again, these things are all very relative to the situation. These things are relative to the exact situation that each individual is in. I'm not making any rules. I'm not making any broad rules, except if somebody is a healthy pregnant woman, she has to fast. Other than that, I'm saying there are no rules. Each situation has to be evaluated independently. We should be zocha to have health. We should be zocha to a year of health. We should be zocha to be able to fast with strength. And those who have to eat should eat according to halacha. We should be zocha to shnas chayim v'shalom. You can't even imagine.
You should read a very interesting book called The Ghost Map by Stephen Johnson. about the first guy in England who figured out what the closest car was. We figured it out. We have to be able to do is what?
Wells.
Right, but he mapped out everybody dying. But he couldn't figure out how come everybody that works in the brewery is not dying. Even though you put the same well. Because they were drinking beer. They weren't drinking the water. And then he thought too well, no, he said, oh, that person. Here's, he mapped it out and he said, aha! It's the well. All right. Yes. Until then, Collins was the worst there. He just gets away from that's good. Look, they used to evacuate New York City and Philadelphia multiple times, you know, a decade, just about run away, because the city was so full of cholera and fear. That's why we had water supply, because there was water supply. What's this place called? What is it called? They say it's called the Keep. Right about 22nd Street, there's this big lake. What was around the lake? All the tanners, all the butchers, all the butchers. They dumped all the stuff into the lake. So then, they opened and built the water supply.
Oh, yeah, okay.